8.07 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you along, Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, Kelly, and you. Boat number 3430106, 3430106. Well, this is it at the legislative level for regular session in Montgomery. We'll talk about what was done and left undone in Montgomery. Do know that looks like a special session coming sometime in September or October, as they will reconvene to talk about prison reform here in the state. Other than that, today looks like the last day for the kids having all that fun in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't make anyone mad. Oh, wait, no, they made everyone mad.
So, yeah, that's what I'd like to do in the second half of this hour, is to hear from you what you feel that you're happy that they got accomplished, what you've are unhappy that they got accomplished, and what you think they should have done that they didn't get done. You know, that's one of the things that quite often the items that are of the most importance get pushed to the end of session, and they deal with kind of other things in the beginning, and then they end up sometimes not getting the important things done because they've kicked the can down the road. There was a little bit of that went on in this session, although there was a special session at the beginning of regular that was called for the gas tax. They got that done. They got that done, no problem. Yeah. Got that done quickly and tidily, and everything else drug on. But we'll talk about that. Let's talk about what's also great coming up. And it's good because I now get to have another member of the Savage family as somebody I know and who has been here with us, and Dorothy Savage joining us in studio to talk about the Everblue Arts Festival. Do I have that right?
Yes, Everblue Arts Festival.
This is so something that starts tomorrow?
Well, actually, yes, it starts on June 1st. Okay. We have an educational component, and we also have that we have working with students with arts education for 10 days. And then we have four professional performances on June 3rd, June 5th, June 6th, and June 8th.
Okay.
We've got performers in from New York. We've got performers from all over the country, actually, that are coming in that are professional equity union performers that are doing productions with us. So it's a really exciting event for our area.
Okay, so this is, and listen, you listed some of the different shows associated with this. Can you, because people, y'all will know this, like,
yes.
Sister Act and...
Yeah, our production on June 8th is Sister Act, a Divine Musical. We've got some incredible performers, Ebony Marshall Oliver. She just came off Broadway from the Public. We have Chauncey Packer, who is also a native of Fairhope, but is in New York, a local boy making good. He's about to make his debut at the Metropolitan Opera.
Wow.
We have director Joseph Spildenner, who is toured with the National Tour of Les Mis and has been on Broadway with that tour. And so we have some pretty heavy hitters coming in for that production.
Yeah, where did the idea of the Everblue Arts Festival come into? When did it start? Like, how long have you been working on putting this into fruition?
Well, actually, about 20 years ago, when I was first heading out to New York and working really hard to sort of make a career in musical theater, and I have a degree in music, I wrote down in my journal that I wanted to have the first equity theater in our area, and sort of got a lot of chuckles about that. And so this dream started about 20 years ago for me. And then I have a business partner named Bruce Ernest. And he has a company called International Performing Arts in Germany. And we came together, and he's done some festivals there. And we sort of merged the two. And we built a building, and we put a festival schedule together. And we've been doing workshops and house concerts for about 2 years. And we have private dance. We have private voice lessons. We have performance classes, on-camera technique. It sort of bloomed into this inaugural arts festival that we'll have.
All right. So there's two parts of this. There's the education and people learning,
yes.
But there's also, if I just want to come, see a show, Dorothy. I mean,
yes.
There's a component for
both. Yes, there's something for everyone. We have the educational component. Of course, we have the people that are rehearsing during it. And then we have these performances. The first night is a Cabaret Under the Stars, a beautiful night of Broadway standards. Then we have a Frank Sinatra night, which is a full show with the old Blue Eyes style music, which is going to be an incredible night with Peter Lake, who's been touring with Madame Butterfly. Pretty incredible.
Right, yes.
And then we have local boys, Marlo Boys, which is going to be just a great night. And then, of course, we finish with Sister Act. And we have hors d'oeuvres for every night. So people can come. They get that with their ticket price. And we are out on beautiful Fairhope, Alabama, on some land right in. We have this, building that we've just built. So it's going to be an amazing atmosphere.
Okay, so somebody's listening to us this morning says, you piqued my curiosity, Dorothy. I'm interested. more information, where do they go, getting tickets, kind of a schedule, website?
Yes, they can go to everbluearts.com, and that has a schedule of events. It also has a ticket link. We can also sign up for a newsletter, which has information about everything that we have coming in the fall as well. We can also go to Facebook. You can get tickets there, Everblue Arts or Everblue Festival. And then we can also go to Eventbrite to get tickets.
All right, very good. So this starts, the actual first day is tomorrow.
Yes.
And it goes through the 10th.
It goes to the 10th, yes, absolutely.
Right. I would say, no, I wouldn't say best of luck. I'll say break a leg, right?
That's right. That would be the proper term.
Break a leg and have a great success. And if anybody needs more information on this, you can shoot us an email and I'll put you through with Dorothy and get you connected.
Thanks. Awesome. Thanks so much.
In. All right. Coming back, we'll grab your calls at 343-0106. Talk about the end of session in Montgomery and the beginning of trouble in Washington. Does that sound fair enough? Well, that's something like that. We'll get into it in just a second right here on FM Talk 106.5. You know, they didn't want us to say, they're probably not at the vehicle yet. Yeah, they didn't want us to say anything.
They can't hear us.
Yeah, they can't. I'm looking at them right now, unless they're listening using the TuneIn radio app or something like that. So Dorothy Savage in talking about the Everblue Arts Festival was in, of course. Dorothy's husband is this guy, Phil.
Phil.
That's a friend of ours.
Last name?
Savage.
Oh, yeah.
So he was in studio, but we weren't allowed to talk. We weren't allowed because the temptation was for Dalton and I to break into football talk with Phil Savage in here, but it was about the arts last segment. Yep. But he was in here, but he kept quiet and until the mics went off.
We did have a quick 3-minute Football Friday off the air, so that was cool.
Yeah, that's the that would be the podcastable portion, the non-aired portion where we talk about that. But yeah, so Phil's wife Dorothy, and what a cool event coming up. We'll put links up to that as well on our Facebook page.
Yeah, you know, we have some great performances down here in South Alabama, both in Mobile and Baldwin counties, but these are some awesome shows they've got coming up. I'm especially excited about the evening of Frank Sinatra. I mean, I had Old Blue Eyes. That was the wedding dance song that we had for my wedding.
I remember that.
I'm looking forward to that.
Let me point out, too, on the flip side of that, that School of Rock, the musical, is being performed coming up this month. This month doesn't start till tomorrow,
right.
June. And I'll give you all more details on that. Another show that has entertainment value and at least one Sullivan child involved in it.
Oh,
so
I'm there.
You know, I'm always pushing those shows as well.
Of course.
All right. So what do you think? We're looking back at session. I wish we had some of that montage. Remember when music, looking back at regular session 2019 for the Alabama legislature, the wins, the losses, the draws out there. I got to say that it was interesting to me what preceded everything else. Y'all remember the beginning of the legislative session? What happened? They gaveled into regular session for a day? Not even a day.
No.
It wasn't even a whole day. And then they went into what? Special session. Mm-hmm. Remember, they went straight into special session dealing with the gas tax. Now, there was a lot of chatter about the gas tax, but if you think about it, it was in total maybe not even 2 weeks. It was 10 days of total legislative days, maybe not even 10. And they got it done. That means they had Republicans voting for a gas tax. They had some Democrats coming along for a gas tax. Governor was on board for a gas tax. They got that done. So all I'm pointing out is when there's something that they can focus on that they can get done. Then you look at the abortion law that was passed.
Mm-hmm.
They got that done. I would say that is more for being challenged. I mean, the reason why the way they passed the Alabama abortion law was to challenge Roe versus Wade, to have somebody challenge in a court of law, which has already happened, Alabama's abortion law, to then maybe get in front of the Supreme Court versus the gas tax. That wasn't the gas tax, not set up to be some kind of idealistic challenge. The gas tax was a pragmatic revenue measure. Whether you like it or not, it wasn't idealistic. It was pragmatic. Abortion ban was idealistic. Both of those got done pretty quickly, got moved through. About everything else was in the quagmire.
Yeah, especially lottery, which coming in, I think,
beyond quagmire.
We would say infrastructure gas tax would be one of the top things, which legislature agreed. That's why they went to special session so quickly, like you just mentioned. Prisons, a huge issue, and it looks like
special
they're pushing that off until fall for the special session. But I thought if anything would get done, this legislative session, I thought that lottery would pass. That's
Me
the
too.
One that I am most
Me
surprised
too.
By. And with the two competing lottery bills, it seemed like there was maybe, you know, the room wasn't big enough for both of them. It actually wasn't big enough for either of those lottery bills, and they ended up not a moral issue, but a funding issue. Where would the money end up going? So no lottery. I think if I had to say what I was most surprised with and what I think probably most Alabamians are upset with, it's that nothing got done with the lottery.
What do y'all think? I mean, y'all, I think I'm on board with that. If you would score this session, the thing that surprised you both either way, I mean, you could be surprised that something passed that you didn't think would pass, or something that did not pass you thought would pass. And lotto's got to be it. To me, the lotto was the one that had, it was the most politically expedient. You didn't get a lot of pushback. You got a lot of pats on the back, not pushback, as a politician. But like you've talked about, it's deciding who gets what money at what percentage that hung that up. So lotto not making it through. Medical marijuana bill making it farther than the lotto bill.
That was surprising.
Yeah.
That,
so
that made it as far as it did, the medical marijuana bill.
And still you've got a situation where you got another special session coming up. So we had a special to start. Then we have regular session, then they're shutting down for 3 months or whatever, and then special session. They said sometime in September into October. So, and by the way, where are we with the actual main job they're supposed to do? You know, the budgets. You know, both chambers of the Alabama legislature yesterday concurred with the conference committee's report on the general fund budget bill, which is HB 152, sent that to the governor's desk. In a statement after the bill's final passage, Governor Ivey signaled her support for the budget, which featured a 2% raise for state employees. Okay, we talked about that some yesterday. Quote here, while remaining steadfast in our fiscally conservative approach, we have put forward a general fund which provides important funding that moves our state in a positive direction, said Governor Ivey. Core promises were kept in the general fund budget, including Ivey's State of the State pledge to return $35 million of annual diversion to roads and bridges that have been going to cover shortfalls in ALEA and the court system funding. Remember, we talked about that during the gas tax, that there was money that had been moved from road work to go into law enforcement because they didn't have the money over there. Well, now that's changed with the gas tax. Also, Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh announced a released a statement upon the final passage of the general fund budget. And he went on to say, I want to commend Senator Albritton on passage of his first general fund budget. Although this is usually a thankless job, Senator Albritton did an excellent job of working with the General Fund Committee, senators on the floor, colleagues in the House, as well as countless hours behind the scenes to ensure that this budget was fair to everyone in Alabama. End quote. We'll see how that stands out there. Also, you had the general fund budget ended up covering all $35 million for the Children Health Insurance Program, CHIP, even though the governor proposed is being funded through the ETF. Now, the ETF, that's the Education Trust Fund, that's our other budget bill, is scheduled for a conference committee. They're working on it as of this morning, expect to be approved by both chambers, then it'll head to Governor Ivey's desk, and the ETF should be signed. That budget should be signed mid-morning. And then at that point, they've got both budgets done, and they're that part, which I would say would be a core element of their job, will be done.
And something else that passed that we've been talking about, I feel like we've been talking about this for 2 years, ever since that kerfluffle up in Kentucky with gay marriage, and that's with the bill to go ahead and eliminate all marriage licenses in the state, SB 69, and that got final passage, was that yesterday or late last week?
Did that?
And I thought that had already passed for some reason. I didn't realize we were still waiting on that bill here.
No, I thought it was. I thought it had passed out of committee, but I didn't. Do you have an update on that? Because I do not have that in front of me.
It looks like they say House of Representatives gave final passage to SB 69 on Thursday, and that's to remove the probate judges from issuing marriage licenses. So it does look like that had final passage this week in the governor's desk.
So it did. So it passed both Senate and House and now going to governor's desk?
Yeah, that's what I'm reading right here anyway. So I'll have to get an update on it. But at least from this one website that I'm reading here, it says that SB 69 did get final passage.
All right. By the way, too, I see this text. Listen, I've seen a lot of texts like this that said, did anyone notice that gasoline went up 10 cents soon after the gas tax was passed? It's $2.35 in Tillman's Corner, but $2.17 in Biloxi, 18 cents a gallon cheaper. Well, Mississippi always leads the nation in lowest gas prices. There, if you look at national roundups, and I think it's probably gas tax already existing there, although Alabama and Mississippi used to be close to the same. gas prices, I know, have obviously they went up for a while and now they've leveled off. I just want to, I don't know that one doesn't mean the other, but I want people to understand too, the gas tax is a fixed amount and not a ratio. I mean, this doesn't mean you have to like the gas tax or not, but mm-hmm. when you talk about how the gas tax is, it's people say, well, the gas is going to get more expensive, so the state will make more money from the tax. That's not correct. It's a fixed cents on the gallon.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how, I mean, you want to talk about it in the kind of a weird world, the more expensive the gas is, the less the amount of tax on the percentage on that gallon.
And that doesn't go into effect until, what is it, September?
Yeah, I think it's the beginning of the fiscal year, so October 1st, I thought, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, one of the biggest issues, and I don't think this had as much to do with the legislature meeting in Montgomery, but the tolls that we've been talking about down here, and with the gas and infrastructure bill passing, and we're seeing so much money go towards infrastructure in Alabama, and that leaves us down here with the Mobile Bay wondering, you know, where's our money?
Yeah, and the problem is, you've got, I think people still are not awake to the fact that the feds aren't funding the lion's share. We've been talking for a long time about it, but I still, every news report, every social media post I see out there where people go, well, the feds are getting, they're not. It used to be, and I'm with you, we were told for a long time it was going to be an 80-20 split between federal dollars and then 20% some amalgamation of state, local, county, you know, those kind of, like, we were worried about paying the 20%. Remember, that was our worry.
Mm-hmm.
So those days are long gone, and as it was a couple weeks ago, it looked like the feds might be in for 7% of the 100%, 7% federal money.
Wow.
Which was going to be that info grant at around $170 million, something like that. Well, now word this week, that's not a for sure thing that we're going to get the info grant money. I think State Senator Chris Elliott was saying that this week with us, that we may not get the $170 million,
mm-hmm.
which would mean no federal money in this. Now, that hadn't happened. We may still get it, but at best, it'd be 7% of the money for the bridge. So I think this story has changed so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it started off as an $800,000 bridge project. You remember back then, I said, there's no way they're going to keep it in budget. It's $2.4 billion now. So, and at the same time, the project has gone from an $800,000 project, which I, in all due fairness, that was ridiculously low for mm-hmm. what it would cost, to a $2.4 billion project. Okay, it's grown. At the same time, the ratio we were told would be carried by the feds has all but disappeared. And now you have ALDOT saying, what you're talking about for funding from the state for this bridge project is more than the entirety of the budget for the whole state for ALDOT. And so they said, we have to toll this thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I think a lot of people are obsessed on the, how much is the toll? Is it $1, $2, $3, $4, whatever? But there's a whole other group of people saying, can you get rid of the toll altogether and still build the bridge? And there's a lot of people saying, if you do not have a toll, there will not be a bridge. And then some people say, well, then there's some amount of toll that they pay. And there's a lot of people say, to heck with it, punt on the project, put it on ice. Yes. Just another session in Montgomery, another day in South Alabama. Take your calls when we get back.
It's 8:36 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, and it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. How are you, partner? Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you. It's the last day of the month. First off, tell me how May has gone at McConnell Automotive, and what kind of deals can we catch here before June?
Well, we only have a few seconds. I want to thank you guys, Dalton, you especially, for helping me get the word out, because it has worked. And, man, we've had such a great month, and we're just grateful, blessed, and hitting our sales numbers. And one of the things, Dalton, is today is the last day of the month. If you have a calendar, you know that out there listening. and in the car business, it just means the last day of the month for a dealer like us. And what I'm going to do for everybody that listens to this, that responds, we are getting an extra $500 a car from the manufacturer because we hit the sales goal we had with y'all's help, Dalton.
Mm.
And I want to pass that on and double it to $1,000 to anybody listening that comes in today, more for their trade-in than what we would normally give them. And the bottom line is this. We have 0% financing. We've got the biggest rebates of the year on things like the AT4 truck, Yukons. Every Buick's got at least 16% off. And people are buying these vehicles, Dalton and McCall, at supplier price, as an example, which is something you only do if you work from the manufacturer minus rebate. So today's the last day, and everything we have, if they go to our website, McCallAutomotive.com, or come see us, Dalton, and man, it's been a lot of fun, and we want everybody to have a blessed weekend. But take advantage of these savings, because it ends tonight, Dalton. You know that.
Yeah, some great savings, and you can only get them at McConnell Automotive. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Man, I appreciate y'all, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, heads up, too, and we'll check in with Angelo over at Mobile Bay Coins shortly, but taking the midday show live to Mobile Bay Coins today.
Awesome. I look forward to that every time we go out there. I'm going to check out some more of those Open L knives, I think.
Okay, that's a good choice. Plus, celebrating the one-year anniversary of no sales tax on gold and silver bullion. He'll tell us more about that coming up in just a second. Do want to go to the phones, and Gary is in West Mobile. He's next up. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Sean. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, without, you know, putting all of Baldwin County listeners into a random demographic, I would suggest that those people that don't want any toll at all might fall into the same group of people that don't see a problem with Alabama as a whole having the lowest property tax in the country. It takes money to have stuff.
No, okay. You know what?
This is
Gary, you're bringing up one of my favorite subjects. You can be, if you're somebody who doesn't want to pay for anything but doesn't ask for anything in infrastructure, then I can go hang out with you. We may disagree on some things, but you have a logical plan, right? I agree with that person. On the flip side, if you're somebody who wants everything and you think, you know, you personally that want everything for infrastructure would pay 100% in taxes if you could, then I can talk with you because you're coming at it logically. But yeah, the worry is, hey, we want to build things, and we don't want to pay for them. But, Gary, in this case, it's a federal interstate that's already operating. I-10, the Wallace Tunnel, is already a free method to get, at least non-tolled method, to get from A to B, and then that would change to pay for something new. I think that's what rubs people the wrong way. The idea, if they just tolled a bridge, I don't think you'd get pushback. But having also the Wallace Tunnel tolled, I think has people rubbed the wrong way.
Yeah, have you driven in Florida lately also?
Yes.
Like the whole chunk of Florida. There's tolls on every bridge, I think, in that state.
I drive from with a couple times a year, so I'll drive from Mobile to Miami, and I end up paying, it's about 20-something bucks either way when it's all said and done. The bulk of that is Florida Turnpike. It's like $16.50 mm-hmm. or something from Yeehaw Junction to Miami, and then I pay for a couple toll roads down south of there, going down through Broward County. And so, yeah, it's like 20-something bucks. But the thing is there, Gary, when I go get on the turnpike, I make that choice. I know what I'm getting into, right? I could go over and get on I-95, or I could go on I-75.
Yeah.
But I choose because I think it's going to save me a little bit of time. It's worth spending the money to me to make that choice to spend the money to go on that toll road, the turnpike. If people have choices and liberty to make, then I got no problem with it. And maybe there's still some people who would be bothered. But if the bridge was built and you said, you know what, it's $6 to use this bridge to avoid what may be traffic congestion going in the tunnel, I think it's a lot more defensible because people will say, hey, if you want to do this, you pay the money and do it, or you can go the old-fashioned way and go through the tunnel for free. I think that, but the problem is they say they can't. They don't think they can make the money to pay off the amount of money spent on this project unless they force the toll on both ways.
Absolutely. It's a big issue.
Yes, it is.
Thanks,
for sure.
Sean.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call. Remember back when that was said it was necessary to toll both of them because it would be leaky? In other words, leaky is folks like, you know, me who go, $6, not today. I'm going to go the freeway.
Right.
You know, and I mean, like the free method going through the tunnel. But if you just had the toll, and I asked that question, I said, well, you know, I don't think people, I think you would actually have a lot more support if the toll was just for the bridge. Mm-hmm. And you could make that call and say, is it worth it to me to spend the money to take the bridge for traffic reasons or for oh wow reasons or whatever? But the problem is they run the numbers, I guess, and they wouldn't get their money if they just had the toll as a voluntary situation to take the bridge.
Right. And you would think that with all the traffic going through I-10, whether they're heading east to Florida or west out to as far as California, you would think that that would be enough, because the people that are just traveling through, they're not going to, you would think, take a detour unless they really researched the route ahead of time and figured out that that would be much cheaper and not much of a... I mean, we're talking, most people that are traveling are probably going to take the toll road and pay for that. I don't see how that wouldn't pay for the bridge. I mean, we're talking about a 55-year term already. Mm-hmm. Why not just make it an 80-year term and only right. toll the one? But, you know, then there's people that are just completely against any kind of change at all already. We've got a text right here. Unnamed texter says, the only thing the bridge will do for eastbound traffic is shift the traffic jam out of Mobile and either onto the causeway or across the bay into Baldwin County. They say total waste of money.
Okay, here's the problem, too, is there's been so much information about this, and I can't expect that y'all have listened to every minute of every show we've done here. Although we should probably go back. Maybe we could put that together in like a flow chart or bullet points, because sometimes I'll shake my head and like, we've said that 10 times, but there's no reason to think that you've listened 10 times to it. So it's, listen, in fairness, let me go back through this and not like, let me go back through it. No, seriously, because I mean, if I didn't do this for a living, I wouldn't know the details here. All right. So, and these are questions y'all are asking just like I asked. Well, aren't you just shifting the bottleneck forward? That's one of the things that made this project come up in cost that they say they aren't. The Bayway would be, and there's still a question about elevating the Bayway. But either way, the Bayway is going to be changed, and it's going to be, if this happens, it's going to be four lanes, okay? So instead of two lanes either way, it'll be four lanes either way, because you're going to then have to bring the bridge traffic in, the tunnel traffic in, and then halfway across, the causeway traffic in, and they're going to continue that over into, and maybe some of the plans are as far as Florida. But that's some of the plans. But the original plan is going to have it up and through Malbus and all that. So you have the expanded lanes on the Bayway. And then instead of having another neck down right there at Spanish Fort, you keep it going. And so you have the... So, yeah, there is a plan for that. And that's one of the things that makes this project more expensive. And that's one of the arguments that it's not just a bridge project. Mm-hmm. It's the bridge, and then it's the Bayway possible elevation and expansion that makes it cost so much. Yeah, I would say if you do not put, if they were not going to do the extra lanes on the Bayway, then to heck with the bridge project in the first place, because I agree with that texture. You just move the project east, I mean, move the bottleneck east, that wouldn't accomplish anything. You're better off doing nothing at that point. You have the same traffic issue, you just don't spend the money. But yeah, their plan is to have all these additional lanes, and the way the bridge traffic, if you look at the animations, the way the bridge traffic would meet in with the tunnel traffic to try to keep that from happening.
Yeah. Another misconception that we hear a lot here, people that think there will be toll booths. Toll booths. This would be, they would take pictures of the tags and then mail, or you would be charged for that toll.
Yeah, this is good. Let's go down through
this stuff. Slowing you down while you're driving.
Okay, so let's go through these things. So number one, yes, there would be, the lanes would be there. Number two, like Dalton just said, toll by plate.
You're not stopping and throwing change out the window.
Right, right. I mean, you can, but there's nowhere there to collect it. I mean, so it's toll by plate, no toll booths. Okay, that's not on there. And now this is just kind of what they have said in all these meetings, how this thing's going to work. So you will have a, as you're coming, let's say, for example, eastbound on I-10, back by Virginia Street, you would be able to fade off onto the on-ramp for the bridge or stay current on I-10 to go through the Wallace Tunnel. Both of them would have the cameras that would check your plate, and you'd pay toll by plate.
Right.
Okay. And the same thing coming eastbound. You get toll by plate either way. There would be a structure, whatever that number ends up being for what you pay to cross, there would be a structure. Like if you only went halfway across, you got off on the causeway exit, you'd pay half of what the amount would be or something like that. So that stuff's been talked about. Doesn't mean you have to like it. It just, I want to make sure maybe that's something we should do weekly. It's just kind of bring everybody up to date on here are the things that have been said. Here's the plan as it stands.
I mean, I imagine you've had over 25 hours of interviews about this bridge alone. So there's a lot to keep up with, and a lot of misconceptions still out there.
That's for sure. Let's see if we can get some of those questions answered when we get back and talk to you at 343-0106. Right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Mentioned that we're taking the show out to Mobile Bay Coins today for Midday Mobile. We'll be talking to my buddy Angelo and Ron and Nancy, the whole gang there. But Angelo is joining us right now. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going this morning?
Matt, it's good. And I'm looking forward to coming out and seeing y'all. Always enjoy doing the show and hanging out with y'all at Mobile Bay Coins. And we're celebrating not just us hanging out talking knives. Actually, something very specific today as part of the celebration.
Yeah, this is actually the last day of the first year of the whole tax-free gold and silver bullion here in Alabama. So as you well know, last year, come June 1st, there were no more sale taxes on gold and silver, on U.S. coins, U.S. currency, which was a wonderful thing for everybody that lives here in Alabama. They could now invest in that gold and silver bullion without that penalty of that 10% sales tax. And to help launch that and kick that off, obviously we're going to have you guys out here today. But in addition to that, everything at the shop is going to be tax-free today. So if you come in and buy a piece of jewelry, we're going to discount it to take care of that sales tax for you.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is a news flash. I just got this memo here. That's cool.
Surprise.
Yeah, that's cool. Wow, okay. So, I mean, this is from jewelry. Is this being also collectibles and other things?
So if you want to buy a piece of jewelry, you want to buy some coin supplies, you want to buy anything that you would normally have to pay sales tax on, we will write up the ticket and we will back out the sales tax, so we are actually taking care of that for you. If it's a $149 item, you're paying $149. We'll take care of that sales tax today.
Awesome. Okay. Very cool. So I'm going to bring some extra cash when I come see you today during the midday show. That's great.
And for a little fun, Powell from the Dewdrop is actually going to be supplying a bunch of hot dogs for us. So everybody can come by and grab a hot dog and check out all the cool stuff.
Man, just like win-win-win. All right, so I know I'm supposed to start the show at noon, but I'll be there about 10 this morning to hang out.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan, Sean.
Okay, all right, see you shortly. Angelo, tell folks how to find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. And come noontime, you'll see that big old 1065 van parked out front. You can always check us out on the website, mobilebaycoins.com.
All right, thank you, man. We'll see you shortly.
See you, buddy.
All right. It's pretty awesome, you know, if you're going to... You're coming out today.
Yeah, I'm coming out.
And you wanted to look at the open
dogs.
Yeah, the dogs are cool. But you wanted to look at some of the open-L knives?
Yeah, I'm checking out those open-L knives.
You don't pay tax today.
No taxes. That means it's the best day to go out there.
And revenue or the taxes are still getting paid. They're just put back in the price out before somebody down there. We're going to get paid.
And what better reason than I get to meet Sean Sullivan out there today. So that'd be pretty cool.
You don't want to meet him on a Friday. Really don't. Ricky is in Mobile up next. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, good morning. I'd like to know what kind of process is going to be of collecting these pay from people from other states, because they won't have to pay it. The bordering states will be held liable, but if you live in Texas, something like that, they send you a bill, you don't have to pay it, because there's no way to guarantee to get the money from them.
All right, that's a thing that came up, Ricky, on yesterday's show that had State Auditor Jim Ziegler and his Block the Bayway toll page. He come up and said, hey, if you look in the authorizing legislation for the toll, it gives this private entity, this group, the right to be able to get your suspend your driver's license, block your car tag renewal. And while that is offensive to a lot of people, having a private company have the state of Alabama do their job, I would argue that what do you do if you believe there is going to be a toll, if there's no teeth and no enforcement mechanism? Well, heck, Ricky, you and I just say, I'll file that piece of paper right there in the round file. I mean, what are they going to do? And you're right. What does somebody, I mean, does somebody in Texas have any fear of ever paying their fine to do the toll? I would say that's a big question.
Yeah, in a comical way, I guess. I got relatives living in Texas, and I was caught on the toll road when they went to just the tags only. And they've sent me bills, but there's no way they can make me pay that bill unless I get pulled over in Texas, because the bordering states, yeah, they can get your driver's license or whatever, but when it gets to Texas on around that area, these people don't have to pay. So we're going to be stuck with the bill here in Alabama more than other people using the road. You see what I'm saying?
I do. It's a great point you bring up, Ricky, and I appreciate that. But, you know, I've got, told you, the FDOT thing. So I get those toll by plates from Florida when I drive down South Florida, and I get them. But, like, I paid the same $2.63 toll, and then they sent me another bill for it. I quit paying it because I paid the same. They keep sending me the same bill, like I've already paid that one. I'm waiting for, it's almost like y'all have done this with insurance stuff like on dental and medical, you wait to just wait a little bit to make sure what your insurance is going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting for Florida Department of Transportation to realize I paid them the $2.63.
You could be waiting a while because we're talking about government here.
Yeah.
Not exactly streamlined.
Pretty solid point here. John is in Mobile. Up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I haven't been paying a lot of attention, but because I'm 58, I don't think I'll ever drive on the bridge in my lifetime.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Why can't they tie it to like SunPass the way they do in Florida? And I know the $6 is, to me, is the issue. If it was like $1 or $2, that would be one thing. But $6, that's nuts. And the other thing I was going to ask about the lottery bill that didn't make it, were they going to tie that in with like a Mega Millions or Powerball, something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
They did, yeah. They in fact, were. That was part of, it probably maybe part of the McClendon bill, but for sure I know it was part of the All Britain bill that it was paper lottery and scratch off and all that, but it would be tied in with the other state, and I don't know, what do you ever call
the
that?
The
consortiums of lotteries or whatever that is.
Okay, and something I heard from an engineer that knows what's going on with the bridge is this is like a private equity company.
Correct.
That's funding this thing?
Yes. Private capital.
So, you know, the government's paying billions for that interchange in Birmingham.
About a billion for that interchange there. And, yeah, so we've been talking about this a long time, about the private equity firm, and I got no problem with the private equity firm trying to make sure they make a profit, and because that's what business does. But government has got to be the people's voice there, and if it's not right, if there's a better way to do this and less money out of the taxpayer's pocket, then you have to address that. But yeah, I mean, the private equity firm, because they're also signing on to do maintenance going forward for 55 years or whatever, I'm going to have the price, I'm going to have it as high as I can to insulate from any kind of unexpected losses and to make the most money for my investors, because that's what the private market does.
Yeah, I understand, but they...
it's a bad deal for Alabama, but it's a good deal for them. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the $6 is just, it's a killer.
55 years, and it can go up. It can go up within, actually, they said before this bridge might be started, they could already start raising the projected price of the toll because of inflation. Before it's even collected.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
There we
Unreal.
Go. Thank you, man. John, have a great weekend. We're about to wrap it up here, and... do it again at noon today.
Yeah, and live on location.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's like we just talked about it. Yeah, we're going to Mobile Bay Coins today. Y'all come see us right across from Little Flower on Government, and we will have some food for you. Dewdrop hot dogs.
It's a sin. I still have not had a Dewdrop hot dog.
What?
I can't believe it.
I thought I knew you.
It's disgusting.
Today we'll solve that. We'll have some Dewdrop hot dogs. We'll hang out. We'll get 10% off everything in the store at Mobile Bay Coins and some FM Talk 106.5 goodies for you. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. See you then.